It's now time for the Blown Call Show. All of today's important topics in the world of sports, wrestling, and entertainment, told from a uniquely Canadian perspective. And now, here is your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 89 of the Blown Call Show here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. As you can tell by the title, we are going to be checking out the circus this week. My main topic is going to be talking about the Wrestle Circus card from the April 30th edition in Austin, Texas on iPay-per-view. But as well, I got to be talking about a few clowns during the NHL playoffs here, but I'm going to get to that in just a moment here. Don't forget, you could contact me by email at theblowcallshow@gmail.com. My Twitter handle is at Mike the Ref. You can also get a hold of us at Edmonton SPN. The podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, apparently is what it's called now, Google Play Music, we're all fine podcasts are found, as well as YouTube. Don't forget to check out some of our YouTube stuff. And I have a big announcement in regards to the podcast network at the end of the show here, folks. So please make sure you check it out. But it is May 4th, and I am still steaming here, folks. For those that know me, know that I am a hockey fan. I try to be as loyal as I can to my teams. But overall, after watching yesterday's games, it is very hard for me to watch a bunch of referee buffoonery affect the outcome of more than one game. Like, I will admit that I am an Edmonton Oilers fan, and many Edmonton Oilers fans are upset about what has been going on with the officiating here during that last game. For those that are unfamiliar, the first goal scored by the Anaheim Mighty I called them the Mighty Ducks, but the Anaheim Ducks was essentially what most people confer as interference on the goalie. Edmonton challenged it. The referee who made the call is the one who has the priority over checking over his own work to see if he was right or wrong. Not many referees are going to admit that they screwed up in that position, especially on a close one like that. I think it was pretty obvious, even if you watch the Canadian Sports Desk in between periods, all of them are saying, yeah, it was interference, why wasn't it called? Everybody's trying to come up with excuses. I find that any of the panelists that are former players or work for the NHLPA, they seem to be the ones that come up with the biggest excuses, while the guys who actually haven't played were the ones that came up with a little bit more serious talk about it. But beyond that interference call, a little later on, there was a second goal by the Ducks by Rickard Rakell, where they, if you look by the replay, it was offside, and unfortunately the Oilers can't challenge it because they lost their first challenge. And the rules state if you lose your first one, you can't call a second one. So now we are down a goal based on technicality, referees' digression. And then in the overtime, an obvious icing call is waved off by one of the linesmen, and everybody lets up, which, let's face it, yeah, the players are at fault there for letting up in that position. But when it's obviously an icing call, it should be called, and we shouldn't have this issue. Ends up being a turnover and a goal. It's straight out of a video game glitch. Now, I'm sorry, that's three goals. Even if you take one of those and make them right, you're going to have a different outcome to that game. So, and then you're looking at the game before, with approximately 2 minutes to go, a phantom high stick goes up and a guy goes down like a sack of potatoes, creating a penalty, basically halting any chance of a comeback by the Washington Capitals, who are now down 3-1 in their series to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, folks, I don't want to get into semantics of refereeing. I understand there's rule books and interpretations and whatnot, but if you guys have been listening to the podcast here over the last month, I've been talking about wrestling shows, and this has been a month of blankery, screwery, stupid things happening all the time, things that just, they take your heart away from matchups. If you see screw-ups all the time or just things that just aren't right, you're going to get a little disheartened about watching it. And I used to be a diehard fan. I would work my schedule around hockey games. I don't do that as much anymore. The playoffs, for a good part, I have been. I want to keep track of the playoffs, and I also want to make sure I find all the mistakes that Chris Parisham and I come up with on the Sounds of Struggle when they're covering the playoffs. But if you got a guy like me who is a diehard that turns into a casual, what's going to happen to these casual fans who, when they tune in, half the time they're looking at referees who can't get calls right? Like, don't get me wrong, I understand human error more than anything. Lord knows I've been wrong before in my 20 years of officiating. I've made mistakes. I've corrected them, but I've moved on. And for the most part, I would have to say that I had a pretty consistent career as an official. Now, these guys, I don't know whether it was the pressure that got to them or they just couldn't figure things out. But one thing led to another, and led into these bad situations. And as fans watching this situation, if you're going to see this all the time where the referees are deciding it rather than the players, then why are you, why am I going to watch this as a fan? And that's how you grow your game, is you get your casual fans to turn into diehards, not the other way around. So, I don't know. The NHL needs to come up with something that will increase the integrity of the game somehow. And watching the Sportsnet pre-show here prior to tonight's games, Elliot Friedman, one of the columnists there, had a great idea. This come up in the NBA. After every game, the NBA will produce a two-minute report. The last 2 minutes of every game, they come up with a list of calls that were made and whether they were correct or incorrect. It's made public to everybody so they can check it out. And then they could just say, look, we screwed up or we're right. If the NHL would come up with something like this sooner than later, in my opinion, there should be a third man in the booth regardless, an extra referee in the booth regardless during the game. It could be something as simple as during rugby or cricket where you buzz up to the booth, the third official looks at it, and he makes the final call about it. None of this judgment call, well, this referee saw this referee saw that. I'm sorry, with that interference call you talk about, there's no, oh, he didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry, you run over a guy. It's not like you mean to do it. You did it. And that should be, whether it be a penalty or just calling off a goal. Times like this right now are way too important to have a referee's ego or to have some kind of procedure cost people games, cost teams games, cost revenue for different teams in terms of whole playoff dates. It's just too costly right now for a small group of referees to ruin an entire playoff season. So, but that's my take on it. I know the players are not focusing on it now. They're moving on to the next game. A lot of people say that we should as well. To a point, I agree with that. But at the same time, if people just keep saying, oh, just wipe it off, move on to the next game, this is how it is, then change is not going to be made. People need to step up and say something about this, or else things aren't going to get fixed for the better. They're going to get worse. So, I really do hope that the NHL, along with other sports organizations, because I'm sure that a lot of the other ones have this same problem. So, but that's enough of a rant about that. So I want to get off the negative and go on to the positive here. Coming up to my main topic, we had the Wrestle Circus Battle for the Big Top show April 30th from Austin, Texas, and I watched it. I took down some notes, and I really think that you guys need to experience what Wrestle Circus is all about here. So let's get to my main topic, where we talk about all things Wrestle Circus here on the Blow Call Show on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. All right, folks, time for the main topic of this show, and I want to get it somewhere in a positive track here. I was way too negative through that first segment, so what better way to do that than to take a trip to the circus? Now, I've been telling you guys that there's been a lot of independent indies that I haven't been mentioning that I've been wanting to see, things that I've picked out throughout the internet here. One of the newest promotions coming out of the state of Texas is Wrestle Circus. They're typically based out of Austin, Texas. Very nice venue that they have right now. And they just had a show last Sunday, April 30th. Now, this show here, to me, looks very similar to the type of show we are going to get for our Canuck Pro show coming up in November and December when that promotion starts up here. All things being good in Calgary as well as in Langley, BC, I do believe is another venue for them. But regardless, I want to talk about Wrestle Circus on this one. A very nice venue. They sold out the place, which was just shy of 700. I believe it was 695 was the amount that they had for sale. 695 or 696. I do believe they put one extra ticket up for sale so that they could break their attendance record from last time. Just little things like that. Just, you know, you're paying attention to detail when. So I don't want to go through the entire card with you guys because, honestly, I think this is kind of card that you need to experience to see. And if you want to check out this card for yourself, Wrestle Circus does have their own VOD system. It's the same system as the PWA has just recently set up for their Night of Champions show. Or sorry, their anniversary show from last month. Check out WrestleCircus.com. They will have a link up in there for the VOD service. It's $9.99 a month, which is the same cost as the pay-per-view. And you'll get access to a ton of great matches there, folks. But looking over the card here, like leading off the card right off the bat, intergender wrestling, something that you very rarely see in the upper levels of wrestling in terms of WWE, Impact, those major TV promotions. But on the indie scene, it is rather common to have, mainly due to the lack of women's wrestling available in certain areas. This one here, it was just a hell of a great match. That's why they did it. You had Candice LeRae, who, if you checked out this week's NXT, you saw her as well as another competitor that we'll be talking about later on here compete in a battle royal for the number one contendership of the NXT Women's Championship. But she was in this Wrestle Circus card taking on one of the men that just proves once again that Canadians make the best heels. And this guy, I feel, could be one of the breakout stars coming up over the next couple years here, and that's All Ego Ethan Page. If you haven't seen this guy work before, you need to check out some of his stuff, folks. He has worked some hellacious matches with guys like Darby Allin. If you guys don't know that name, well, get on Evolve and check out some of the stuff there. But Ethan Page has a way to have the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand with whatever he is doing out that rig. And Candice LeRae is just so well-loved by that crowd in Texas. Hell, she's well-loved around everywhere. Funny way to start off this match is when Paige gets on the mic and informs Candice that he's just a better-looking version of her husband. If you guys don't know, Candice LeRae's husband is NXT superstar Johnny Gargano, but it was a hell of a match with these two. And yes, they used the size thing as part of the match, but it was a very good back and forth match with LeRae eventually getting the roll up victory, which a lot of people didn't believe, but a lot of people didn't believe it could actually happen. The way it happened was very believable. That's the best way to put it there. But then later on in the card, you got a big hoss match there with Moose taking on Davey Boy Smith Jr. Now, these guys are ground-and-pound specialists that can basically do anything in the ring they want. They didn't disappoint in this match either. They literally tore each other apart here. Fantastic match with these two. And then on the complete opposite scale, we got two matches that sort of took us away from that scenario. It got us into a more of a high-flying scenario here. You had Mr. 450, Dirty Andy Dalton, and Scorpio Sky in a three-way dance for the number one contendership for the Sideshow title. Now, with Wrestle Circus, you got your big top title. Your Ringmaster Championship is what they call it. And then their secondary title is called the Sideshow title. Very ingenious on how they set up these titles. So, a lot of high-flying action with all three of these competitors. But in the end, you got a guy like Scorpio Sky playing the perfect heel. Coming in after Mr. 450 hits a huge move on Andy Dalton. Sneaks in and gets the 1-2-3 cover and becomes the number one contender. For those that think that name sounds familiar, Scorpio Sky was part of the RCW Rise of Legends, War of Legends tour this past October in the Alberta area. So, and he is still picked up and he is doing a great job out there. But then from there, you want to talk about high flag and you want to talk about action packed. The Wrestle Circus hierarchy decided that this match should go up on YouTube for people to check out because, my God, the stuff these guys were pulling off of this match, like, I'm not a big flippy guy when it comes to wrestling, but I was thoroughly impressed what these guys were coming up with here. You had the team of Shane Strickland, Desmond Xavier, and Leo Rush taking on a team known as, when it came up on the screen, I wasn't sure what it meant, OI4K. Kudos to the commentary team, which I will talk about here at the end. You had, it means Ohio is for killers. You had Jake and Dave Crist, as well as Sammy Callahan, as part of that team. I've heard a lot of great things about the Crist brothers. Sammy Callahan, well, he was on NXT. We know what he's all about. And he didn't disappoint whatsoever here. This match here had pretty much every high spot you could think of. These guys were laying it completely out on the line. Just move after move after move after move. Absolutely spectacular what these guys were coming up with in this matchup. And they ended up giving Leo Rush a standing ovation after the match. Well, I think it was for all six guys. But here's another thing. A lot of people don't realize this. Down in Mexico, when you're in a Lucha Libre match, when the fans think that you have done a spectacular job on your match, they will actually throw money in the ring for the wrestlers to take with them, like essentially just like tipping a busker. And that just goes back to your carnival roots, folks. And that place was packed. The ring was full of money by the end of that match. Like, everybody enjoyed that match thoroughly. And I hope that some version of this match gets to be done once again, whether it's there or on a bigger platform. So But then from there, I want to talk about the two championship matches, the two main titles that are being held in Wrestle Circus. A little bit of relation between these two here, but let's start with the Lady of the Ring title. You had Taya from Lucha Underground taking on friend of the network, Rachel Elric. Now, one thing I've noticed about matches with Rachel here over the last few months, it's been really starting to develop. You had all these matches earlier where you have a lot of flippy stuff and a lot of high action, high pace to it. While the energy doesn't disappear, the intensity just gets rammed to a new level when she comes out for her match. Because everybody sort of stops, and it goes from just being a high action match to this match is going to be a big fight, a big match. You get the vibe of this is like a main event of a UFC pay-per-view, one of the major shows. Rachel looks like she's going to kill somebody out there. One way or the other to retain her title. Taya, absolutely fierce in that ring. These girls were unloading with bombs that I think most guys would be scared to do in that ring in terms of the offense that they had. One, I think, one spot early on in the match, basically Rachel was going off the ropes trying to shoulder block Taya down. She was threatening to go for a third time. Taya's doing the, okay, go on, go on, go on. Puts her guard down, and Rachel just boots her upside the face. Little things like that. Like, you just, things out of the blue here, and they just know that they're just going to run right through each other. In the end here, you had, and this is one of my sour points here for both title matches, you had Taya in a half crab, made famous by the legend Lance Storm. Taya was very close to tapping. I don't know whether she would or not. But John, I guess they called him on the show, John Morrison, I guess it was allowed, comes out, grabs Rachel and just ragdolls her, causing the disqualification. And basically it came down to a beatdown by Mundo onto Ellering. Now, don't mind me, I still don't mind the intergender matches, but this kind of violence that Mundo was putting on Ellering, just for me, it soured a little bit because it was a little bit more than what I think should have been had in this match. Either that or have some kind of run-in by Brian Cage, who was going to be taking on Morrison later on in the night. But basically, they just laid out Rachel and left. Now, I don't know what kind of psychology went behind it or even if there was psychology with it. But all in all, Rachel retained her title even through disqualification. So, but then you got the Ringmaster title, the main event. You got the champion, Mr. GMSI, Brian Cage. Folks, if you have not seen what Brian Cage looks like, just look him up. He is ripped. He is gripped. He is tripped out. Strong. Big man. Can absolutely maul you at any single position that you're in. Taking on Lucha Underground, former WWE star John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, Boone the Bounty Hunter, which his movie just came out. This match here was fairly back and forth until near the end where you had a bit of a distraction with the belt being brought in. Referee gets knocked out or referee gets distracted. And then all of a sudden Mundo lays out Cage with, I do believe, two belt shots after a chair was brought in and other stuff. You're going to have to check out the VOD for the exact details, but the thing that got me is the fact that Melissa Santos, the ring announcer for Lucha Underground, and I think there might be a connection between Cage and Santos, but don't quote me on that. She comes out and basically tries to pull the save here. I'm assuming she's probably training to be a wrestler, but I don't think she actually is at this point. If she is, she's sold like a mother, you know what? But in the end, Brian Cage ends up getting the victory thanks to the momentary distraction of Santos. But it just felt like that didn't need to be there, that little ending. It's sort of a more of a Hollywood ending, but it just felt like it dragged on a little bit more than it should have. I'm sure the fans went home happy because in the end, Cage ends up getting the victory, and everybody goes home happy with a successful title defense and whatnot. Just felt like it was a bit of a thunk when it come to the pay-per-view view. So, but one thing I did want to bring up, and I did mention this a little earlier in the show, I want to bring up the color commentary team as a highlight of this iPay-per-view. You had Rich Puccini, who was formerly known as Rich Brennan in NXT, teaming up with Lance Hoyt. For those that don't know, Lance Hoyt is the tag team partner of Davey Boy Smith Jr. as members of the Killer Elite Squad. Currently, he has been under, had some surgery done, so he had to, he's been having to sit out. But he did a great job on the color, while Puccini did a decent job on the play-by-play. I'm not going to say it was perfect. I'm not going to say it was over the top. I know from personal experience, as you guys probably have checked out on our YouTube page with Breakout TV as well as CWC Evolution, along with the old Edmonton SPN shows you could check out on there. Doing the play-by-play, if you haven't had time to research the product in terms of moves and whatnot for specific wrestlers, it might get a little difficult to call. One I can come off the top of my head is the Buster Call of Leo Rush. That was mistaken for, I believe, just a suplex by Puccini there. But you know what? That's not a big deal because compared to what they've had before, these two guys knew how to be fans while they're calling a match. And when you have something like that where you know guys are into it, you know guys are enjoying it, and guys know how to commentate and present their feelings out in a positive manner, you are going to enjoy the commentary a lot better. Like I know some of the earlier shows that I checked out, some of the commentary commentaries I really don't want to name for the fact you could check them out. They have their own podcasts and whatnot, so part of the union, I don't want to disparage them too much here, but I found that these two guys in particular did a great job of having that relaxed feel. Now, I'm going to take aside my feelings of the ring announcer who, appropriately named Loud Noxious, lived up to his name rather well as far as I was concerned. I think he was having an aneurysm every time he was talking. A grizzly voiced multiplied by Tony Chimmel every time Edge comes out. That's the best way I can describe Loud Noxious here. So, but all in all, folks, you definitely need to check out this card and the rest of them with Wrestle Circus. They're doing a lot of great things. And the positive atmosphere they're getting there from the fans, the wrestlers, the support staff, everything that is going on there, it is definitely worth checking out. And folks, also, you can check it out on social media, at Wrestle Circus on Twitter especially. They are very active on social media. And if you ever have any questions, they are more than willing to answer them rather quickly. So, But check out WrestleCircus.com in the VOD section. It's only $9.99 American a month. Granted, these days it's about $2,000 Canadian, but that's a different story amongst itself. But it is worth it, no matter what. This is definitely something we're checking out. And the best part is, if you're going to miss a show, you can always catch up with it on the VOD system. Their next show is actually going to be May 27th, the Saturday, where they're going to have their Lucha Carnival there. And unfortunately, I'm going to not be able to watch the show live due to a upcoming event that's going to be happening in Alberta. Speaking of which, God, I'm good at segues. It's time for us to wrap up this part of the show and go on to our upcoming events. All right, folks, it's time for the upcoming events here. And once again, the upcoming events is sponsored by the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network t-shirt store. Visit www.whatamaneuver.net/collection/Edmonton-SPN. Yes, folks, it will be in the show notes. For all your Front Row Mafia, One World Empire, and Sounds of Struggle gear, we are going to have some special surprises. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, going to have a special surprise here coming up, and it might be related to that as well. So, but without further ado, this weekend, Saturday, May 6th, it is the Road to the Leo Burke Cup coming up from the Alberta Avenue Hall with Monster Pro Wrestling. Some of the matches have been determined already. You have the All-American Steve Rivers taking on the Orion in a submission match for a spot in the Leo Burke Cup tournament. As well, you have a three-way match between Epic Wood, I believe is what they're calling it now. You have Epic Eddie Rude and the Lumberjack Larry taking on the version of the struggle of Sean Martins and Maniac taking on the champions, the Shark Club, the Wild Child, Tyler James, and the Real Deal, Sydney Steele. That is going to be a hell of a match. As well, you have a provincial title match on the line where you have Kit Cyrus taking on Dynamic Deed Richter. If Kid Cyrus loses this match, he will be unmasked. So I can't wait to see how that's going to turn out, one way or the other. It's going to be a hell of a show. Tickets are only $50 there. You can pick them up from any MPW wrestler or $20 at the door. So these shows are tapings for MPW Dynamite. And just get out and see a great show. And speaking of good tours, I guess I get my head a little bit in this one here. The RCW 14th anniversary tour is coming up. May 12th, they are at the Lorelei Bomaris Hall at Edmonton on the north side. We debuted that venue last month. Hell of a good show with a hell of a good turnout there. If you guys want a nice, relaxed atmosphere to watch some wrestling, that is definitely a good venue to take a look at it. I am announcing matches on the Edmonton SPN Facebook page over the next week here. You guys are going to get a little in-depth in here early. Not only have I mentioned that Heavy Metal will be defending his RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship against the Monster Abyss in a Monsters Ball match, but the announcement's going to be going up later tonight where Scott Justice, the former RCW heavyweight champion, is going to be taking on Tornado Tony Kazina. He's looking to rebound ever since he lost that title and, frankly, lost the Three Stages of Hell match thanks to Big Jess Youngblood. Folks, this show is going to be worthwhile. It's a 7:45 start. Make sure you get there. Saturday the 13th, they're going to be in Calgary. Big Jess Youngblood has demanded a rematch in Monsters Ball for Calgary. And hell, if he wants to get his brains battered in, be it for me, the RCW commissioner, not to get in his way. So I don't mind him doing that as well. And a card that was just announced this week is the RCW Inception Show from the Abbey Center in Black Falls. I don't have all the details on that card. I'm actually letting Steven Styles try and attempt to do his job as promoter and try and come up with a decent card for that show, as I will be otherwise indisposed this Mother's Day. So, but speaking of the Abbey Center, on the 13th, the Saturday, the day before, a show that I am really looking forward to here, folks. The Canadian Wrestling Coalition is having their Clash for the Cup Tables, Ladders, and Chairs show from the Abbey Center in Black Falls. This is going to feature the finals of the Canada Cup with Jack Pride taking on Chris Parrish. And folks, if you haven't seen CWC Evolution, please check it out, because you're going to see how Chris Parrish managed to weasel his way into the final here. So it was a rather devious way of doing it. But then you have your main event. You have the CWC Championship being defended by the Cheetah Bear, Jew Dawkins, as he will be defending against Johnny Kickass in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. I am not saying, oh my, folks. You guys can say it yourselves. I'm not into cliches today. But it is going to be one hell of a card. I know personally I'm going to be there. It is part of our CWC Evolution filming series for the web show. But on that same night, there is a ton of wrestling going on in Alberta. With if you're out in the Onaway area just west of Edmonton, approximately a half-hour drive to 45 minutes, at the Onaway Arena, the annual PWA Fallout show will be coming from the Onaway Arena. All the stars of the Prairie Wrestling Alliance will be there. Typically, a crowd there is usually 350 to 400. Lots of screaming kids, lots of fun. I know that Andre C and the Wrestling Mind are going to be there. I'm hoping that they'll be able to take care of the quick calls there as I take care of the one from the Abbey Center. But wow, that is one heavy-duty week of wrestling there, leading into Mother's Day. So make sure you tackle that biggest obstacle of all, and that's making sure your mother gets treated right. So I'm going to lay off for the rest of the upcoming events for the rest of the month, mainly because there is a long weekend involved, and I can talk about it on the next show, which seems to be coming out a little more regular basis here. Speaking of which, upcoming shows on the network, and this is going to come up with our big surprise. Debuting on the network this week, and pretty much I'm going to be working on it right after I've done this podcast, jobbing out with the Danimal, Daniel Jobber. He is covering the Cruiserweight action on 205 Live and a lot of high-flying action, his thoughts on the wrestling business, more of the WWE level. It's great to have the Danimal as part of the team now, and can't wait to get the first podcast out. Typically, it's going to drop on Fridays on a consistent basis. As usual, the Sounds of Struggle will be coming out every Thursday at midnight. My blow call show, well, you know, usually I'll do it when I'm rendering videos, so it's sort of a hit-miss when I get in here, but typically I'll have a little interesting topic here for you guys to hear, so it doesn't necessarily need to follow a specific date or pattern here. But make sure you subscribe to the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes or Google Play Music. I guess it's now called Apple Podcasts. Or if you get the Podbean app, we are available on there as well. So, and don't forget, folks, if you can help us out, please go on to the iTunes site and give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review on there. Let everybody know what the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network is all about. The more reviews that we get on there, the more popular we will get in search engines. And then from there, we can start doing a little bit more with the network here. But speaking of doing more with the network, you'll notice that all our shows are simulcast on our YouTube page, which hopefully by now has been transferred over to our new web address, youtube.com/Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. I hope that's all figured out now. There'll be a link in the description. And don't forget, folks, on the YouTube page, you can check out RCW Breakout TV. A brand new one is coming out in hopefully the next 24 hours here, with the main event being Scott Justice taking on Big Jess Youngblood as he's defending his Canadian Heavyweight Championship. Then as well, you have the Markey versus Knight 1 match from the Steel Heights Community Center in Edmonton. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. As well as CWC Evolution on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network YouTube page. Our last show had Chris Parrish taking on Xander Price, as well as the Falls Count Anywhere match between the headline Sean Martins and Dylan Stone. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this show here. I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the podcast this week. And just want to say, folks, be nice to your referees because they definitely have a tough job to do. But they will come up with a blow call every once in a while. And trust me, these playoffs, we've seen a lot of it. And this is the Blow Call Show here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been the Blown Call Show with your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more information on all the network programming, search Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, YouTube, and Facebook, or check out their website at edmontonspn.podbean.com.